Welcome to the Preach Jesus podcast. I'm Lydia Trainer, and along with my husband Greg, we would like to welcome you to the podcast. In today's podcast, we look at a message Greg preached called The Healing Ministry, a work for every believer.
Yes, today we get a further look into the work Jesus accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection. You see, the gospel is so much more than fire insurance against an eternity in hell. It's a promise of a new life filled with God's blessings here on the face of the earth today.
Today's teaching is from a diocesan conference in the Diocese of St. Augustine, Florida. In this three-part podcast series, we are going to get a more in-depth look at this wonderful life that Jesus came to bring us.
We're going to see in this series that the promises of the gospel are not merely an after-death experience. God desired to restore the human race to himself. That work will be complete in heaven, but for the Christian, it begins at conversion and baptism, and it gets better as we walk towards heaven.
In this series of three podcasts, we are going to look at healing. We are going to see that not only is healing available to the Christian, but that God desires to use us as his instrument to bring healing to those around us. Before we start the preaching clip, let's say a prayer and open our lives to the truth and power of God's Word. Father, help us to open our hearts to the truth and power of your Word. We pray that the grace and power of the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the truth of what we are studying. May it change our lives in such a way that we would never be the same again. Amen.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bible with you, I want to ask you to turn to me to Acts chapter 10. This is where we'll begin our message this morning. Acts chapter 10, we'll start in verse something or other. You get to 10, you'll be fine. It's so good to be here this morning. God has good things for us this day. God has good things for us this weekend. You know, I think that if you spent a month asking the Lord what you wanted him to do for you this weekend, he'll probably have something better than you would have come up with. He's going to be pouring out his goodness upon you. Like the rain falling outside, the grace of God falling into your life as we worship the Lord, his grace renewing you physically, spiritually, emotionally, and the preaching of the Word and the opportunities that come to be ministered to prayer in prayer and the Eucharistic presence of Jesus. God has good things for you. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so happy to be here. You know, it was 23 years ago this month, God baptized me in the Holy Spirit. A lot of you know where he did it. He did it at this conference. February 1983. A lot of you are still working to put on this conference every year, and because of your faithful work, you were here when I was hungry for God. Lydia had been teaching me over a year about Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I landed here Saturday night, I was finally ready. I came up. I tell people everywhere I go, when I tell them my personal experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that they prayed for me in Jacksonville, and I felt like when I landed on the floor, when I rested in the Spirit, I was prayed for in Jacksonville, Florida, and I landed on the throne room of God in heaven. It's the only way I know to describe it. That I had, when I came back to the Lord as a young adult, prayed that I could come to know the joy that I knew as a child. When I tasted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I came into a life that I didn't even know in practical terms that I could expect in heaven, the joy, the peace. Hallelujah. So I come here, I always come with a sense of gratitude for what I received here. And a lot of y'all are my big brothers and sisters in the Lord, because when I went back to Gainesville, to the student center and the Holy Faith, you all kept leading me and teaching me about the Lord. So it's good to be here. And I'm looking forward to good things. We're going to open the Lord and look. The title of this talk is to be Awaken to Jesus the Healer. Is that right? I came close, didn't I? Hallelujah. So in this look in the Word, I want to take a look into the Word about healing. You know, you don't have to do much work to convince Catholics that God heals. I think that's one of our strengths. As you can't generalize that all Catholics are the same, but I think that we had generally, as a people, have some strengths and we have some weaknesses, and one of our real strengths is that we know that God heals. Look through the centuries of the church and the lives of the saints, and you find a people who had an expectant faith that God is a healing and a miracle working God. I don't know the statistics, but my personal experience is I find more people who believe in healing than even believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, at least here in America. If you were to ask them, do you think God can heal someone or that God will work a miracle, most Catholic folks would tell you, of course. I always say our strength is we know that God can do anything. Our weakness is we're not really sure what He's going to do for me. We're not really sure what He'll do through me. We know that Jesus is alive and He's risen from the dead and that He heals the sick today. We can believe that He would use individual people in a ministry of healing and miracles, but we have a difficult time seeing the wonderful promises of the Word that are available to every Christian. So if Sister Breeze McKenna was to come to town, or Father DiOrio, or Oral Roberts, or Benny Hinn, we would go to their service with expectant faith that God would heal people in our midst. We might not be too sure what's going to happen to me and my needs, but we know that God can do it today and that He's using individual people. So I want to first take a look in the Word today and give some of this perspective that healing and miracles aren't meant to be for the few. That's to be the part of an everyday Christian, and the healing ministry is to be a part of every Christian's life. So I want to take a look here. Where did I say we were going to start? Acts 10. Good thing you're listening better than I am. Acts 10. I have some notes. I left my first set behind. I feel like the preacher who was walking to his church on Sunday morning and dropped his notes and they went down the sewer grate, and he got up and he apologized and he said, you know, I had a good set of notes and I lost them. I'll just have to say whatever God tells me to say, but I'll do better next week. Acts chapter 10, this is a wonderful account from the book of Acts. Peter has found his way to the home of Cornelius. God's setting this up with the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing dreams, visions to Peter and Cornelius, and making everything, making the road smooth so that when Peter comes to proclaim the gospel in this Gentile home, he's received and he knows that he can go and be received there. I'm going to cut down the reading to Peter's preaching. But this is a scene. He's gone to Cornelius. God has prepared Cornelius to receive Peter. He's prepared Peter to go. Verse 34, Acts chapter 10 and following. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. You see, this is a wonderful thing of the gospel, is that it's available to every living, breathing human being. See, this is an important event in the history of the world unfolding as Peter preaches the gospel and they're going to accept Christ. They're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and prophesy before they're ever baptized with water, these Gentiles. And so Peter is beginning his preaching with this proclamation that God shows no partiality. That's the wonderful thing of the gospel, is that we can offer its hope and its benefits to anyone. To me, that's the joy of being an evangelist. It's the joy of being a missionary. That's the joy of being a Christian, is that I have an answer for the world that's available to everyone. I don't have to examine them. I don't have to see if they're Jew or Gentile, if they're slave or free, if they're educated or illiterate, if they're a junkie or they're not addicted to anything. I don't have to check out to see what sort of hope a doctor, a psychiatrist, a social worker, or an accountant has for them. I just know the hope that there is in Jesus, that God shows no partiality, and that salvation is so near, it's as near as the opening of a heart. It doesn't matter how fixable they look, and that perhaps Peter's mind is on the fact that it's available now to people of every nation and not just Jews, and he's going to preach to Gentiles, but this goes beyond everything, that the hope of the gospel can be offered to all, no matter their situation, their birth condition, their place in society, their health and mental condition. The hope of the gospel is available to all.
That brings us to the end of the first part of today's message. Now for a few brief messages. For more information about our ministry, preachjesus.org, visit our website at www.preachjesus.org. For more information about the podcast, including what podcast apps the podcast is available to be heard on, please visit www.preachjesus.org/podcast. You can reach that page by clicking on the word podcast at the top of the ministry's homepage. This podcast is available free of charge to all who would like to listen. We are believing God for 300 partners that will give $30 per month for the podcast to continue and to offer it for free to all. If you would like to join us as a partner of the podcast for any amount of a monthly gift, please visit the podcast webpage. You can also help us in praying for us in our work or by making a one-time donation. Again, more information is available on the podcast webpage at www.preachjesus.org/podcast. And now, let's get back to the preaching of the second part of today's message.
It continues, but the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is the Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed through all in Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I love that verse because it's a one-sentence summary of the earthly ministry of Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. How God raised him on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that, through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Hallelujah. That's the good news of the gospel. We have some lovely accounts of Peter in the book of Acts taking the simple message of the gospel, the kerygma, the first conversion-bringing proclamation of the gospel. We see him preaching it in the streets on Pentecost when the crippled man is healed at the beautiful gate of the temple when Peter and John were entering. And Peter says, "Silver or gold I have none, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus the Nazarene. Rise and walk." And when the man goes running and leaping and praising God, no one has to ask what happened because they all knew him. They came to Peter and they say, "Peter, John, how did you do this?" And Peter says, "It didn't happen by any power or holiness of ours. It's by the power in the name of Jesus of Nazareth that this man stands before you well." And he preaches the kerygma, the first conversion-bringing proclamation of the gospel. He boils the gospel down to its essential elements. John Paul said that this kerygma is proclaiming the life and death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. And those words describe with a precision this very short sermon that Peter preaches in the home of Cornelius. The life and death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. And in there we have that wonderful synopsis of the earthly ministry of Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. I want to put this inside of a larger picture. Because I think for most folks, and I'm not just talking charismatic Catholics, most Catholics have very little trouble believing that Jesus healed the sick. That he opened the eyes of the blind, that he caused the crippled to get up and walk, that he opened deaf ears, that he raised the dead to life. But I want to take a look at what's the significance of this throughout all of eternity. If we're going to look at healing, we can't do that without examining sickness, because if it wasn't for sickness, healing wouldn't be so important. So I want to talk at both ends. If there's two places where we don't find sickness, one is when we go back to the Garden of Eden. Here we find life as God originally intended it to be. We find them living a perfect life without the maladies of sin and sickness and disease. We find them living in a perfect presence of God. Living in a place where they didn't have to work for their food. It was there for the picking. There was no hurricanes because the ground was watered by a mist that came out. How about that? No Hurricane Alley. It wasn't until they sinned and were cast out of the garden that it said that man would have to work for a living by the sweat of their brow, that women would suffer in childbirth, and that's when death entered the world, that sin took God's perfect creation and threw it into a disorder. We know this from our teaching as on original sin, but sin had an effect not just in separating man physically from God and not just in excluding us from the perfect presence of God, but the effects of sin went through all of the physical creation. That at the time of sin is when sickness and disease entered the world. You didn't see the disorder of nature, of earthquakes and famine and hurricanes and tornadoes, and all these things didn't exist in the garden. That we find the physical universe falling into a disorder. And it has everything from your car rusting to the tires wearing out. It's all a manifestation of living in a world that's separated from its original perfect condition. The other place that we'll see that sin didn't exist or won't exist is in heaven. Let's look in Revelation chapter 20, and we'll read this together. Revelation chapter 21. Beginning in verse 1, this is the revelation given to John in a vision. I call this in the Word one of the windows to heaven. It's a place where we can get an accurate description of the place in which the Christian is to hope to spend all of eternity. If I'm going to spend all of eternity somewhere, I have a hunger to find out more. And this is a very beautiful and full description of what life in heaven is like. It's a window, like going to the outside of a house and open the window and peering in, seeing what's going on in there. John is writing this. He says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Isn't that beautiful? Those words that God speaks from his throne to John in this vision, recorded in the book of the Revelation. I make all things new. It is done. You see, the promises of God have a completeness. It doesn't matter what malady we suffer with. It doesn't matter what condition we have. It doesn't matter if we even see a way out from the mess we find ourselves in. There's a God seated on his throne in heaven that wants nothing more than to love you, to reach down and to be here for you, to rescue from sin that started this mess to begin with. And he wants to be present to you today. He is so close and so much at hand and so willing to help you that when you came for baptism, that he himself came to dwell in you. In the fullness of his power, in the third person of the Blessed Trinity, you became a temple of the Holy Spirit, and he goes with you every moment of every day throughout the week. Every moment of every day, ever present, all powerful, ever willing to work on your behalf.
Well, that brings us to the conclusion of part one of the three-part teaching. The teaching will show us that not only is healing available to the Christian, but that God desires to use us to bring healing to those around us by praying for their needs in Jesus' name.
I find it quite exciting that this good news of the gospel is something that we can offer to everyone. In today's world, there are 8 billion people living. 5 billion of them make no claim to Christian faith whatsoever. 5 billion. And this gives a generous assessment to those who survey as being Christian and yet lack true faith in Christ. Whatever the true number of people today that are living without any faith in Jesus as the one and only Savior of the world, we know this much. It's a massive amount. But God will use everyday people like you and me to bring them the gospel.
There are so many people yet to be reached. And yet, if each Christian took seriously the missionary call of their baptism, it could be accomplished quickly. Pray that God will use you to reach another person with the good news of the gospel. There are some people that need to hear it from you. You are God's chosen vessel to bring them the good news.
Well, thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. Lydia, close us out with a prayer, please.
It is our hope that God does something good in your life today. Our prayer for you today comes from a traditional Irish blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Until next time, this is Greg and Lydia Traynor saying goodbye. Jesus loves you, and so do we.